Good evening. Most of you are familiar with Jamie Beller. In fact, I'm not sure that there's anybody in here outside of a couple that haven't met him. Well, when we were gone to North Carolina, we happened to be on Jamie's half of the country, since he's out there. And it worked out that Jamie drove up to where we were, about an hour north of where he lives, and we had lunch, had a nice talk, and one of the things he said inspired this whole sermon. He said, a lot of people take the Miracle-Gro approach to evangelism. And I said, what's that? He says, they don't do any work, and then they go to God in prayer. God, please help this congregation grow. Looking for a miracle. And I thought that was so good, I wrote it down on a napkin. I said, I'm going to preach that. He says, well, send me the outline when you're done, because I get credit for it. Well, what they don't realize is that even with Miracle-Gro, there's other steps involved. You don't just go out and throw Miracle-Gro on a garden, do you? Before you've plowed it, before you've planted a seed, before you've watered it. You don't just go throw Miracle-Gro out on your yard and expect crops. Or if you do, there's more serious things wrong. You have to first till the ground. You got to choose your seeds. You've got to hoe the rows, fertilize the ground, plant your seeds, cover them up with dirt. You got to water it. And then if you use it, you use Miracle-Gro on a semi-regular basis. There's a lot more work involved. Miracle-Gro is only part of the equation. In the same way, you cannot pray or just pray for the church to grow and then not do anything else that's necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 is a short verse. You all are familiar with it, and it's going to be the basic outline for our lesson today. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Today we're going to be looking at the way the church can grow, both here in McLeod, but also across the world. But before we get into that, I want you to briefly consider the question, why should we evangelize? What's the point? The goal of evangelism is not so that we can have more people here in McLeod in the church building. If your goal is numbers, you're in it for the wrong reason. The goal of evangelism is not so we can build bigger buildings. It's not about prestige. We should be evangelizing because there are souls lost in sin who are going to go to hell if we don't go spread the good news of Jesus Christ to them. We should be evangelizing because that's the mission that Jesus left with us. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, or teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We should be evangelizing because we love other people and we don't want them to suffer eternal torment. There's the song that we sing every once in a great while, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. You've heard that song? Well, have you ever got really upset with somebody because they knew something you didn't and they didn't bother telling you about it? Let's say you go down here that way. Go over here and you go get gas. And you told somebody here, I'm going to go get gas and I'm going to go get it over at this gas station. Well, what they didn't tell you is that this person here that you told you were going to go get gas happened to know that if you went two blocks further, it's 40 cents cheaper. Now, that's not you know, a real example, but just imagine that. And then you find out afterwards, this person said, oh, I knew that it was 40 cents cheaper over there, and I knew you were going to go get gas and spend way too much money. Wouldn't you, if you were that person, say, why didn't you tell me? Would it aggravate you? Well, it'd aggravate Jimmy. And Jimmy doesn't get aggravated at anything. Well, we need to be evangelizing because we happen to know something that would be very helpful to people, and they don't know it. We got to tell them. So just remember, evangelism isn't about building bigger congregations. It's about saving people's souls. Jesus didn't go out preaching so that he could have big groups of people following him. He went out preaching so that people wouldn't have to go to hell. And we need to be doing the same thing. But how does the Bible teach that we are to evangelize? Looking at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, first thing we need to do is plant the seed. Paul says, I planted. Now, when you plant a garden, first thing you got to do is decide what crops you want. If you want carrots, you're not going to go plant okra seeds. Otherwise, you're going to be sorely disappointed with the harvest. If you want lettuce, you plant lettuce seeds. You want okra, you plant okra seeds. But make no mistake about it. If you expect to get certain crops, those seeds have to be planted. Is it good enough to go get the seeds and then sit them on the shelf? I'm going to go buy okra seeds. I'm going to sit it on the counter. And then I'm going to have okra plants come fall, right? No. It does no good to buy the seeds and then leave them on a bag or sitting on the shelf somewhere. It does no good for us to have the Word of God in our hearts if we're not going to do anything with it. You can't evangelize by keeping your mouth shut. You can't plant the seed without actually going out and planting the seed. The purpose of evangelism is to create Christians. And because of that fact, the seed that is used must be the one that will produce Christians. To quote Jesus, Luke 8, verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God, without any subtractions, without any additions, without any changes, that alone will produce Christians. The Word of God does not produce Baptists or Methodists or Lutherans or any of the other thousands of denominational groups. If you take the Bible only, you will be, and follow it, you will become a Christian. Only a Christian. Nothing less, nothing more. The only way to produce those other groups is to change the seed, modify the seed, take part away from it, or add to it. The only way to get a Baptist is to plant Baptist seed, which partially the Bible and partially not. But make no mistake about it, just like with the garden, there will be no Christians grown if you don't plant the seed. If you want okra, you got to plant the seed to get the okra. If you want Christians, you have got to plant the seed that will cause Christians to result. Jesus gave the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9, and it began with a sower who went out to scatter seed. And when Jesus interpreted it, that was the Word of God. And it showed how the seeds fared in different kind of soils, which Jesus said were different kinds of hearts. So in some of those hearts, the seed, the Word of God, took hold and grew. Christians were the result. And in some of those soils, some of those hearts, the Christian flourished. Some of them bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 times. You know, that's what we really like, is those ones that are really active. But there would be no plant at all without first planting the seed. There can be no Christians without the Word of God first being taken to them. Why isn't the church growing like we want it to? Reason number one, far and above anything else. You can blame the culture. That's fine. Culture has a little bit to play in it. You can blame, you know, society. You can blame people's hard-headedness or whatever. But the number one reason the church isn't growing is because people aren't out there planting the seed. You can't expect anything to grow if you don't plant the seed. There's a song in our songbooks, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother?" You always got to make sure you put the pause in the right place on that. Otherwise, it's "Are you sowing the seed of the king, dumb brother?" I can't sing that song without hearing that ever since I was in junior high, and my junior high or the junior high Wednesday night teacher mentioned that. Well, thing is though, and I don't know, we may have even mentioned this before, but dumb means silent, mute is what it means in the Bible, at least. Well, are you sowing the seed of the king, quiet brother? One who doesn't go out spreading the word isn't sowing the seed, is he? We must plant the seed, but also we must water the seed. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered." Now, if a seed that you plant in your garden doesn't receive any water while it's in the ground, it's not going to grow. That's, as one of my preaching school teachers said, a big bag of duh right there. Because no sense in even mentioning it, it's so obvious. If you don't water it, you've really wasted your time in preparing the garden, wasted your time in planting the seed and fertilizing and all that stuff. If you don't water your garden, it's not going to grow. When we teach the Word of God to other people, you know, planting the seed, we must water it as well. You may say, okay, how do we water that? Well, it's done through lovingly teaching people and guiding them to God's Word for the truth. It's done by placing the emphasis only on what the Bible says and not on man's opinions or on his theories. It's also done by encouraging people to act on the information that they found in the Word of God. Acts chapter 2 records Peter's sermon on Pentecost, but notice after he got done preaching and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." It said that, you know, many that received his word were baptized, but it also says, "And with many other words did he exhort them, encourage them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation," Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Peter planted the seed with the sermon, but then he watered it, encouraged them to act on it. You plant the seed in your garden, then you encourage it to grow by watering it, right? Watering the seed, Apollos water, this is also done by helping people along to the point where they become a new creature. It's no coincidence that the Bible connects being a new creature with water. You know, I don't know if we could simplify it to the point where we've got Paul saying, I taught people, Apollos baptized them, and then God gave the increase. I don't know if we can go that far and that simplified, but it's no surprise that water is involved in becoming a new creature. John 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Being born, that's being a new creature, just like with a seed. You water it, and then it starts to sprout up. It becomes a new creation, a new form of life, or a new life, rather. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, "Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The new life comes from being baptized into Christ. We go out and we teach people the word, and then we encourage them to act on it. That's what Apollos was doing. It seems that many times those who take the word of God to others say, "Well, this is what it says," and then they kind of just leave it at that. They don't really encourage them. They don't, I hate saying it this way, but they don't try to close the sale, so to speak. They don't try to get people to act on it. They just say, "Well, here it is," and then just kind of sit there in an awkward silence as if that person's going to go, "Okay, I see that. Let's do it." They need to be encouraged to act many times. I'm sure Wayne can tell you that. A lot of people aren't going to just automatically jump into doing something without a little bit of encouragement to do it. We need to not just be seed planters. We also need to be watering the seed as well. But notice back in our verse, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, he says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." We must seek God's help. Sometimes, regardless of how hard you work to get a garden going, it still fails. 2 years ago, if I remember correctly, it may have been three, but I'm thinking it was two, there was a total of three tomatoes grown in this entire congregation. Out of all the people that had gardens, three tomatoes. And I think most of those were only about that big, if I remember correctly. From this alone, we need to realize our own efforts will only get us so far. We can work as hard as we can possibly work, but we still might not get our desired result. God is the one in control, and as such, we must always seek his aid in everything we do. This is the part of the equation that we might call miracle grow, or equate with that as far as the gardening metaphor goes. We must constantly remind ourselves that God is the one in control, and we need to seek his aid. Miracle grow is something extra added so that it betters the chances that the crops will grow and thrive. Miracle grow is added while you're watering the garden. When we've done our part to share the gospel with others, we should be seeking God's assistance. Constantly remind ourselves that this isn't about us. It's not about the teacher or the preacher. I cringe when I hear preachers say, well, I've baptized X number of people. Now, I can tell you how many people I've baptized because, honestly, it doesn't take very many fingers to do that right now. Hopefully, you know, by the time I'm done on this earth, I'll have no clue because it's so big, not because I've lost my mind. I knew that's what you were thinking. But it doesn't matter how many people you have baptized. Not at all. Because it's not about you at all. The focus should be on God. Look there at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, but I want you to include verse 7 this time. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Who is the one who matters in all of this? It's not the preacher. It's not the encourager. It's God. God is where the focus should be at all times. So pray for God's aid that you plant the seed properly. Pray for God's aid that you water it correctly. If you go out and you water your garden too little, you still water a little bit, but too little, the plants are going to die. You water it too much, it's going to drown them. With different people or with different plants, it requires different amounts of water. Just the same way, people require different amounts of encouragement. You go overboard on the encouraging, it's going to turn them off. You go too little, and they're not going to do anything. We need to pray for God's aid that we water correctly, but also pray for God's aid that the seed will take root and create a new creature, and that it will keep growing. But wait, there's more. We got planted, watered, and then God gave the increase. But when you have a garden, as soon as those first green sprouts come up, that means your garden is successful and you can quit, right? No. If you've ever had a garden, you know better. You consider your garden a success when you have full-grown plants that are producing. I can't tell you how many plants we had, tomato plants that were starting to grow. Some of them got up about this high. No tomatoes. Take that back. There were four that I remember that were about that big. And they're supposed to be those big ones. Well, you consider your garden a success when you have full-grown plants that are producing. That's the whole reason you did the work in the first place. It's not enough to say, okay, that seed has started to sprout. It's a success. But how do people measure success, spiritually speaking, when they evangelize? It has nothing to do with how many people they've got to maturity that's going out teaching. They always talk about how many baptisms. I mean, and that's important, don't get me wrong. But that's just the beginning. That's not the goal. The goal is to get them full grown and mature so that they can go out and teach others also. Because if the seed in your garden never gets past the initial sprouting stages, it's no good. And if you stop watering your plants when they first sprout, they're going to die. They won't grow. They're not going to be in any use. Instead, gardeners continually water their plants as needed and continue to add Miracle-Gro on a regular basis. Gardeners must tend the gardens. They remove the weeds and do everything they can to try to give the plants an environment where they can grow and thrive. It's not enough to get people to let the Word of God take root in their heart and act on it in becoming a new creature through baptism. If we get thousands of people, imagine getting thousands of people in McLeod to become new creatures and then they all fade away after just a few weeks. Have we really done much good? No. This is the problem of trying to get numbers in the church instead of trying to save souls. Just as new plants require constant attention, so do new Christians. Some are more hardy than others and from the get-go and require very little attention, very little help to grow. But others need frequent care and frequent attention, otherwise they won't grow at all. Christians must be encouraged regularly. This is like continually watering them, just like a plant needs water to grow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul tells them, edify one another. Hebrews 10 and verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke into love and good works. We need to show our love and care for new Christians and constantly encourage them. Never give up in trying to encourage them to grow in the Lord. Christians must also be fed. They don't have to be fed. They must be fed proper nutrients in order to grow. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What is able to help a Christian grow? He just said the word of God, which is able to edify or build up. We must continue to help new Christians in their study of God's word. Talk to them about spiritual things. Point them to scriptures that will help them grow. We must also go to God in prayer on their behalf. We need to keep God involved. Keep applying the miracle grow, if we want to continue to use that metaphor. How many times have you prayed for a new Christian and said, Lord, please be with so-and-so as he's facing the devil's onslaughts against him. And Lord, please help me to help him grow into a strong, faithful servant of yours. How often do you pray that prayer? Some people seem to think that the church will grow just by praying for it without any work. That's not going to happen. But also, and this is something that Jamie sent me a text message on, said, don't forget to make this point. You can't expect new Christians to have miracle growth either. You can't say, well, as soon as they become a Christian, well, they ought to know they ought to be in services every time the doors are open. They ought to know this. They ought to know that. Well, no, they need to learn and grow just like we did. We can't expect them to just automatically know everything. In fact, that's one of the reasons why some people don't become a Christian, because they've got this idea they have to know everything before they are baptized. Instead of realizing that you got to know a certain amount, then you're baptized and you just grow from there. Keep learning. The goal of evangelism is to produce Christians who will bear fruit and will be able to spread the word of God to others. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The goal of evangelism is to save people's souls and teach them how to go out and do the same thing. The goal of evangelism is to make heaven the most crowded place it can be. You know, with gardens, being crowded isn't necessarily a good thing. That's not true. The analogy breaks down there. We want heaven to be as crowded as possible. Here's the catch. You are a failure as a gardener if you don't even try. You're going to have a pitiful garden. In fact, you won't have any garden at all if you don't even try to plant one. That's pretty clear, right? Spiritually speaking, you are a failure as a gardener if you refuse to even try. You're a failure as a gardener if you refuse to plant the seed, or if you refuse to water the seed, or if you refuse to tend the plant after it's sprouted, because all of those are things you can control. I mean, there are certain things that are completely out of your control. You have no way of dealing with it at all. That's not what I'm talking about. There are things you can do. You can plant the seed. You can encourage people watering the seed. And you can try to tend to the plant or tend to the new Christian after they've become a Christian. Encourage them. Go to God in prayer on their behalf. Spiritually speaking, how good of a gardener have you been? Have you been planting the seed? Have you been watering it? Or have you simply been looking at a weed-covered field of the world and say, well, if they want to grow, they know where to come find me? Way too many churches have that approach to evangelism. They know where the church building is. If they really want the truth, they'll come find us. Well, that's not how things work most of the time. Imagine a real gardener saying that, looking at his yard going, well, you know, those crops, if they want to grow, they'll go ahead and grow. They know where to, you know, they know how to do it. It's not going to happen. We have to be out there spreading the seed. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He voluntarily took our punishment so that we wouldn't have to endure it and gave us the opportunity to make it to heaven. You must let that truth take root in your heart. Let that seed come into your heart and take root. Believe it, and allow that seed to cause you to change your ways by repenting of your sins. make the good confession of Jesus Christ, and then apply the water, because seeds aren't going to grow without water. If you're not a Christian, apply the water today. You've got the seed, the Word of God. You believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Make that good confession and become a new creature by being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then just do what you can to continue to grow and become a fruitful servant of Jesus Christ. If you're not, or if you've not been doing things the way you ought to, if you've not been producing fruit and sowing the seed like Jesus wants you to, there's no better time than now to make things right. If we can help you with any of this, please come as we stand and as we sing.